When you use gradual exposure, you expose yourself to the thing you fear in small steps so that it won't be quite so terrifying. In contrast, when you use flooding, you expose yourself to the thing you fear all at once and surrender to the feelings of anxiety until they disappear. During my sophomore year of high school, I wanted to be on the stage crew of the play Brigadoon. The drama teacher, Mr. Cranston, told me that people on the stage crew had to climb ladders to the ceiling and crawl around on scaffolding to adjust the lights. I told him that might be a problem for me because I was afraid of heights. He said that I couldn't be a member of the stage crew unless I was willing to get over my fear. I asked how I could do that. He set up an 18-foot ladder in the center of the stage and told me to climb up and stand on the top rung. I was fairly trusting, so I went up the ladder, step by step, until I was standing at the top. Then I realized that there was nothing to hang on to up there, and I was terrified. I asked what I was supposed to do next. Mr. Cranston said I didn't have to do anything except stay there until I was cured. He waited for me at the bottom of the ladder and encouraged me to stick it out. I was absolutely petrified for about 15 minutes. Then my fear suddenly started to diminish. A minute or two later, it disappeared completely. I proudly announced, "Mr. Cranston, I think I'm cured now. I'm not afraid of heights anymore." He said, "That's great, David. You can come down now. It will be great to have you on the stage crew for Brigadoon." Experts don't entirely understand why or how exposure works, but we do know that when you expose yourself to the thing you fear for long enough, your anxiety will usually burn itself out. Anxiety simply can't last forever. After a period of time, the physical symptoms, such as the dizziness and butterflies in your stomach, will subside. The perception of danger is the key to all anxiety. After I'd been standing at the top of the ladder for a while, it dawned on me that I wasn't going to fall and that I wasn't in danger. At that moment, my anxiety suddenly disappeared, and the experience began to feel pleasant and exhilarating. Exposure always works by changing how you think. There's been a tremendous amount of research on flooding and gradual exposure, and they're both effective. Gradual exposure takes longer than flooding, but it's less frightening. I prefer flooding because you can usually get the problem taken care of right away. You've probably heard the expression, "If you step on a crack, you'll break your mother's back." When you were a child, you may have sensed that this was superstitious nonsense, but you probably avoided stepping on cracks anyway, just to be on the safe side. Then, one day, you stepped on a crack, and nothing happened to your mother, so you stopped worrying about the cracks. When you avoided the cracks, you were involved in a compulsive ritual, or compulsion. A compulsion is any repetitious, superstitious act that people engage in to ward off danger. The thought, "My mother may die," is the obsession, and avoiding cracks is the compulsion. Hence the name obsessive compulsive disorder. Most of us experience mild obsessions or compulsive urges from time to time, but they're harmless. For example, you may have had the urge to check the mailbox after dropping a letter in, just to make sure that it didn't get stuck. You've probably also noticed that letters never do get stuck, and that the checking is unnecessary. Minor compulsions usually don't have any effect on the quality of your life and don't require treatment. But on occasion, they can be embarrassing. A life insurance salesman named Howard had the irrational thought, "My family may be in danger," every time he parked his car in the garage. Then he had the urge to shout, "Dark, dark, dark." Rationally, he knew this was ridiculous, but he was convinced that something awful would happen if he didn't do his shouting. Aside from that, Howard was personable, happily married, and successful. His shouting ritual was just a harmless quirk. One day, on impulse, Howard invited a colleague over for dinner after they finalized a deal. Howard offered to drive so they could talk and brainstorm about a new project on the way home. The moment Howard parked his car in the garage, he had the overpowering urge to shout, "Dark, dark, dark." However, he suppressed this urge so he wouldn't look like a total loony in front of his colleague. Howard introduced his colleague to his wife, and they all sat down in the living room to have a drink. Howard grew increasingly anxious because he hadn't shouted, "Dark, dark, dark," when he parked the car. In spite of his rational conviction that his shouting ritual was absurd, he couldn't shake the feeling that the business deal would fall apart if he didn't go out to the garage and do his shouting. He felt so uncomfortable and distracted that he couldn't concentrate on the conversation. Eventually, he said that he'd left his appointment book in the car and had to go out and get it. Once he was in the garage, he did his shouting and felt immensely relieved. Then he went back inside to join his wife and his guest in the living room. Howard didn't realize that they could clearly hear him shouting. His wife took him aside and whispered that they'd heard him and that his guest had looked puzzled. Howard felt profoundly embarrassed and made up a lame excuse that they'd been having problems with rats in the garage and that he had to shout every night to scare them away. Response prevention is the treatment of choice for any compulsive ritual. You simply refuse to give in to the compulsive urges. It's like withdrawing cold turkey from an addiction. Your anxiety will temporarily get worse, but if you refuse to give in to the compulsion, the urges will eventually disappear. There's no preparation involved. You just do it. No psychoanalyst, no fancy footwork. How could Howard use response prevention to get over his compulsion to shout "dark, dark, dark" every time he parks in the garage? Howard simply has to refuse to give in to his urge to shout every time he parks the car in the garage. That's all there is to it. He'll get more anxious for a few days, but then the urge will disappear. Response prevention definitely won't solve all his problems, but it's the most effective way to overcome compulsions. I often combined exposure with response prevention for maximum effect. First, you intentionally expose yourself to the thing you fear the most. Then, you resist the urge to perform your compulsive ritual. Exposure and response prevention can be extremely difficult at first. If these procedures make you uncomfortable, it's a good sign. It means that you're on the right track. It's easy to understand why so many people resist exposure and avoid the things they fear. But avoidance always makes the symptoms worse. In contrast, when you surrender to the thing you fear most, recovery may be only minutes away. When the thing you fear exists only in your mind's eye as a vivid memory or frightening fantasy, more innovative forms of exposure will be needed. This is where the cognitive exposure techniques really shine. They include cognitive flooding and the feared fantasy technique. When you use cognitive flooding, you visualize your worst fear. For example, let's say that you have claustrophobia and your worst fear is being buried alive. You could imagine being buried alive, screaming and suffocating. Try to make yourself as anxious as possible and endure the anxiety for as long as you can. Or, if you have a fear of flying, you could imagine being on an airplane that's crashing toward Earth in a ball of flames. Picture the thing you fear as vividly as possible. If you become panicky, don't fight it. Instead, try to make it even worse. Eventually, the anxiety will burn itself out.